our teaching today, and I'm calling this Clay in God's Hands. Clay or soil in God's hands. And I want us to turn to some scriptures that speak very clearly of this title today, Clay in God's Hands. Firstly, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill up and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So there is God's divine plan. There is his desire, his good pleasure, in which to make man in his image, or in their image. And that he's to have dominion over the earth. So the earth is made for man, that he has dominion over it, and that he has fellowship with God and gives God all the glory and praise and honor for his creation. That was the divine plan. And then we move on with this. I can't read all of it, but I want to pick out certain verses which I think are applicable for what we're going to talk about today. And then we see in chapter 2 and verse 7, and here it says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being," or a living soul. So we see then, it goes further and it describes how God forms man. So he's already made the ground. He's already created. He's created the earth, the clay. And now he's going to use that which he has made to form man. Remember, man is still in his likeness, but he's going to use that which he has created. And then it moves on, verses 18 to 24 of the same chapter of Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" So that was the divine plan, that God, who's made man out of the dust, is also now going to make a helpmate who's comparable to him. In other words, that word comparable is a very important word to understand. It means to be like him, to be equal to him. "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." So God even gives dominion to Adam that he can call whatever he sees, he can name it. Now, of course, God knows what he's going to name these things, because God's ultimately in control. But we note that Adam has a free will in his relationship with Almighty God. And so Adam gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him or equal to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh of its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And so it goes on, and Adam recognized what God had created out of his rib, that was equal, that was like him, flesh, and so on. So it's interesting that woman is not actually directly created from dust, from the earth. But what God created from dust, from the earth, i.e. flesh, bone, then God from that created the woman, which is all very interesting. And it's all there to be comparable with man, to be equal with man. But sin, rebellion, changed a lot of that. But that was the divine plan. And of course, we are now living in a time as Christians, in the time of restoration, where God is restoring, bringing back. He's going to soon come to rule and reign on the earth, bringing back, restoring the paradise conditions, where he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years upon the earth. And where is restoration starting? In the house of God, with us, restoring us back to what Adam gave over to the powers of darkness when he sinned. But of course, this restoration isn't in the first Adam, is now in the second Adam, whose name is Jesus. Adam, of course, we know means Adam, red earth. Now we see what the fall did. We're just going to look at some of this quickly. Remember, our teaching today is clay in God's hands. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 22. Genesis 3, 17 to 22. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of the wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it, and the days of your life." Now, the first thing he addresses, God says, with the sin that they both committed, he goes back to the ground, the clay, the dust, the very thing that he formed Adam, made Adam, he addresses first. "And in toil you shall eat of it in the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So the ground is very important here, what it produces and what it brings forth and what has happened to the ground. The very ground that you stand upon, the very foundation of your house that is on the ground, something happened to it when man fell. It was cursed. And we know that by the way we have to till it and look after it, and the weeds, and how it can degenerate so quickly. Farmers have a full-time job on their hands, and I think it's sad in this age of technology how we don't appreciate farming and how vital it is to life, to ecology, to our very existence. But nevertheless, that's what the fall has done. And it goes on, verse 20, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin, and he clothed them." And so, of course, the story goes on, which you know. So sin caused man to return to dust, to the earth. And that is why a second Adam had to be raised. A second Adam had to come. God was not going to leave man in that state. And I think there's a reason for that. Because had God left man in that state, no one would be saved. That is why God called a nation out of all nations, Israel. And even she rebelled. Even she was stiff-necked. And God was going to destroy even Israel had it not been for Moses, who stood in the gap and said, well, if you destroy this nation, this people, you have to destroy me. And Moses was righteous in God's sight. So God intervenes because man has fallen, he's cursed, and he's going back to the earth. He's going to be simply become dust. And dust cannot glorify God. God cannot have commune and fellowship with dust. It's what he does with it. And so a second Adam was needed. And we know who that second Adam is. His name is Jesus. And God raised him up from the grave after Calvary into that spiritual new being, no longer from the dust, from the earth, but now a spiritual being, a new birth, a new humanity, a new body. And you see, Jesus' body, when it was raised from the dead, was not for this world. And that's why he said to them, do not touch me. The reason being is, I am not for this world. I'm of another world. I'm only here for a reason, to continue the good news, the work that I've done. And then God took him after 40 days. Why did God raise him up? He's now seated at the right hand of God for the very purpose, because his new raised spiritual body wasn't for this world. Can't be. But Christ, at his birth, he took on clay to break the curse of death, to break the curse over the ground, the soil. He's broken its curse. He's broken the curse over your life and my life. That is why we become a new creation. It's interesting, the nature of soil, clay. Did you know that there are those who study the earth, soil? Do you know what they're called? They're called pedologists. They observe soil. They study soil, its chemistry, its minerals. And these pedologists are used to see for agriculture. They can be called in for a new building site, or whether there's floodland, or whatever it would be. These are important people. They can be called in if they want to build an estate or a lot of houses to make sure that the soil is stable, or if there are hills that are nearby, to make sure that they are stable and there won't be land falling upon them. They're used for woodland. If they want to build ponds, they're used for landfills. They use them for sewerage and so on. So these pedologists have got a job on their hands, and they study clay, they study soil. And it's interesting that all of this is made up of minerals and organic matter. Did you know water and air is very much connected with our ground, our soil? That's why I'm such a believer that we need to be connected to this world. Gardens, agriculture, getting out into woodland, to the sea, is very important for our health to be connected to all of this. And it's so sad that so many, particularly younger people now, are separated from so much of this. They spend all their time on computers, technology, in houses. And that's why they're so concerned of a lack of vitamin D that's found in people. They're now discovering that this is a bigger problem than they've realised, particularly if you live in areas of the world like we live, or up in Iceland or Greenland where they don't get much sun. This, again, can be a problem. And our ground that we stand on, the soil, takes thousands and thousands of years to develop. Farmers have to work on soil to help keep it fertile. This is why we need to pray for our farmers around the world. They produce our food, our daily bread, that we thank God for. They have to till and look after the ground, the soil. You can't just grow anything on it. So that is a podologist's job. And sadly, we know that sin caused man to return back to this ground, this dust. It's interesting that dust can be a woman's nightmare when she's trying to keep the house clean. And really the only thing that can deal with dust in a house is a vacuum cleaner. You know, just using a dust or whatever it is not so good, because it just simply creates the dust to go into the atmosphere in the house and fall somewhere else. Did you know that we shed skin constantly in our houses? We shed up to 70% of dust that is found in our houses, that dead skin. So a lot of your cleaning and dusting comes from you. We're constantly shedding this dead skin. These dead skin cells, they end up on your bed. They can be on your furniture, carpets, curtains, you name it. It's all around the house. And if you've got animals, cats or dogs, they're shedding skin as well. Even the clothes, your blankets, your curtains, fabrics, all are producing dust. There's so much dust in our houses that we actually produce these dust mites. And these dust mites consume dust. But I got news for you, these dust mites, they also shed their skin, adding to dust. So that's why we have to constantly keep our houses clean and so on. Why am I stressing all of this? Because I'm talking about clay, dust, ground. And God has said that clay is in God's hands. This ground, this dust that I've been talking about, God is in control of all of this. Why? Because it's what you are made from. And it's what you will return to if we still are alive, because all will die until eventually when the church is raptured. Until then, man is going to die, and we die, and we turn back to dust. You say, what about incineration? Well, it's ash, dust, it still goes back to the ground. That is the point. And yet God says He's in control of all of that. And God says that he can do something with that. And he does, as he created Adam out of the dust. So likewise with that dust, that earth, that clay, he does something also with us. So Christ came from clay, from the earth, from the dust, in his flesh. Let's look what God did with him. Let's just remind ourselves. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So look what God did with clay, with dust. God working in Christ, reconciling the world. How did he do this? What did he have to do with this clay, this dust? He had to work obedience, because man had become disobedient through sin. So through man's obedience, many were made righteous. So because Christ was obedient, it actually means that he endured, he overcame, he was faithful up to the death of the cross. God was able to make us righteous through that. That's why we're called to be overcomers, to be faithful, to stay with it, to endure, to not deviate or go back. Same as Jesus didn't go back. He set his face as a flint toward Calvary. And that's what we do. We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what does it say also in Philippians? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. We're calling our teaching today, Clay in God's Hands. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So it required death. It had to be for God to raise him, the new humanity, a new body, a son unto himself. And then let us look to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. This is what God was doing through Christ, through dust, clay. Look at the miracle he is creating and working. God is a miracle working God. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And that is why we too have to go through much trial and tribulation to make it into the kingdom of God, because it works within us obedience. Obedience is really faith. Faith is obedience. In other words, trusting God, doing it God's way, letting go, getting out of the way of what God wants to do in your life and my life. This is how Jesus had to learn. The same as you're learning. He had to go through exactly the same. Look what God does out of clay, dust. It's remarkable, isn't it? And he's working exactly the same with you and I. Let's turn to Romans 9, 21. Let's just let the scriptures speak to us about all of this. Sometimes it's good just to let the word speak. Romans 9 and verse 21. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour? So as God was doing the same with Jesus, out of the clay, the dust, raising this vessel for honour, whose name is Jesus, filled with the power and presence of God, so likewise the potter has power over the clay. You're the clay, you're the dust. As God breathed into that dust and created Adam, so through the new birth, the spiritual new birth, this clay, we're still in our flesh. Look what it is, he says, he has power over it. So he has power over your flesh, your body, which was cursed. He's even got power over that. This is why I hold to in preaching and teaching, and I always thank the Lord that when I preach the word, I thank him that the word will go forth healing, delivering, wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. I have always believed that that is the nature of God's word, not just to educate us, not just to make us spiritual, but to make us whole in mind, body, and spirit. And there it is, that he has power over the clay, the body, for the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour. That's a bit scary, that. You make sure you're a vessel for honour, for use, because there are vessels for dishonour, to be judged. And he has to make those vessels. Now, we have a free choice, a free will. We can choose to follow the Lord or to reject him. But the point is, we are all vessels. And it depends what those vessels are filled with. Are those vessels filled with the presence and love of Almighty God? Or are these vessels that God still makes and creates filled with the very devil himself? We have a choice. So some are for honour and some for dishonour. But all of these vessels are made out of clay, out of soil, which says exactly your nature. And that is what he does. What does it say in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honour and some for dishonour. There again is the sovereignty of God. There are these vessels, us, those vessels for his use. Like they had, the vessels were used in the temple under the old covenant. So he has these vessels today. Some are of gold, some silver, some of wood and the clay. But that some are for honour and some for dishonour. That is why when man rebels and he rejects God, it never takes God by surprise, because he knows the beginning from the end. And yet through all of that, through that which he has predestined, we still have a free will to choose. You have a free will right this moment to choose whether you want to believe or you don't want to believe, whether you want to stay in this room or you go out of this room. You have a free will, but your will is going to determine your future, your destiny in eternity. And that is very scary. And yet we so blindly go along making these choices, and if it were not for the divine intervention of Almighty God, we would destroy ourselves. And that is the love of God. And thank God that he intervenes in your life and my life. He intervened into this world of sin, bringing his Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And so there it is, these clay vessels, which is what we are. Some are for honour and some for dishonour. And I thank God that he works in me both to will and do for his good pleasure. I thank God that he's put that desire within my heart to breathe out and say to him, Lord, whatever it takes, don't give up on me. Work with me. We have to be honest sometimes with ourselves. We're rebellious. We're stiff-necked. We're willful. We want to do it our way. And then we wonder why we make such a mess of it. No, these are healthy things to cry out to God, that he will keep with us and preserve us and keep us and work with us and not give up on us. If we mean that in our hearts, God isn't going to turn a deaf ear to that. It is his desire to save. It's not in his heart that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That is the Father's heart. But we have a free will, because God doesn't want robots. There will not be robots in heaven, not like what man is making today through artificial intelligence, robots. God isn't into that. That's not what you were saved for and are. You have a free will. And he wants us to make that right choice. And that's why it is important that we come together, we fellowship together, we get under the word and so on, so that he can continue to work with us, so that he keeps us on that narrow path, with our eyes looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Because there's so much in this life to hinder us, to distract us, to get us off course. But God is always one step ahead. But the point is, I'm not going off the subject today, clay in God's hands. That's what we're talking about. Look what God is producing out of this clay, this soil. Because that's what we are. If you want to know your nature, what you really are, you look down at the ground that you stand on. And that is what you return to. But let us see what God is creating out of this ground, this soil. And this simply to me proves the absolute sovereignty of Almighty God. What does it say in Proverbs 16 and verse 4? Proverbs 16 and verse 4. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom or judgment. Remember I said back in 2 Timothy that God has raised vessels for honour and dishonour? All of this has to be accomplished. All of this has to be fulfilled. We believe that we are a vessel for honour. Like the potter who has power over the clay, a potter who's producing that object, whether it's a pot or a vase or whatever, it's so that it can contain and be filled up. That is the idea of a potter. That is what pots were made for and are made for, so that they hold something. They hold the presence of Almighty God. You hold in this clay, this soil, you hold the presence of Almighty God in your new life, your new birth. That is why your entire being, even your body, and what you do, where you go, how you use your body, even that is important, because God has made his fellowship, his home in your life, in your heart. This was what was so amazing, because the presence of God was only found under the old covenant with Israel in the holies of holies, in the temple, the tabernacle. And only the high priest could go in to that very presence once a year to offer up sacrifice, blood for the nation of Israel. And if God rejected that blood, rejected that high priest offering, then he was struck dead. And the only way, of course, they could get him out was to drag him out with cords. That's why he went in with cords. And he had little tinklets, little bells on the bottom of his robes. And all the while they could hear the tinkling sound going on, they knew that he was alive, that God was accepting the blood, the atonement. But if everything went absolutely silent and they couldn't hear anything, then the only thing they could do with the cords that he was in there, they would drag him out. Because the very presence of God was there. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he rent the veil in two and said, now you can enter. Man can fellowship now with God, because God's anger has now been dealt with through Jesus Christ. Sin has been dealt with. You now can tabernacle with God and he with you. Look what God has done out of clay, out of soil. Remember at the beginning of this teaching, I showed that when Adam fell, the ground was cursed. And he has to toil and labor with the ground. And yet look what God has done in restoring. Look what he has drawn out of this. Look what he has created. A new humanity. A new race. And Jesus Christ is the forerunner, gone before to prepare, who now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you are being raised up now in the likeness of Christ. This is why it is so important, our fellowship. This is why it's so important that we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we come under the anointing, the teaching, because God is raising us up in Christ Jesus. When we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, this world is going under judgment. The days are numbered because the Lord Jesus is soon coming to rule and reign. The signs are telling us COVID-19 is telling us that this life is coming to an end and that Jesus is soon to come to rule and reign. And yet medical science and everything is trying to find all the answers. They're all going around like headless chickens. But we have the answer. It's in the Word of God. Jesus spoke that these things will happen in the last days in Matthew 24. Diseases, pestilences, earthquakes, and so on. It's all happening. And a lot of that is connected with, again, the ground, the earth. Because it's under labor. It's to be restored when Jesus returns. and the lion will rest with the lamb. So there's the sovereignty of God's hand, what he does with clay. And that's why the cross revealed God judging sin in the flesh. The cross revealed God judging, renewing the clay, the flesh, that man can be raised up in Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, there's quite a lot, isn't there, to consider and think with regard to this ground, this clay, that God has created and made us out of, made us a new creation. We are God's handiwork. We are God's miracle. You are a miracle today. You are a miracle in this world. Whoever you meet, whoever you come alongside, your life is a miraculous life. It's not an ordinary life. It's not the life of this world and how people live and act. You are different. You've been raised up in Christ Jesus now. This is why we don't belong to this world. We're just simply sojourners passing through. Don't build your foundations in this life. Jesus was absolutely clear about a foundation, wasn't he? Here it is again, this analogy of the ground, the clay, the soil, the earth. Are you going to build it on sand or upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that eternal rock? That is why it is important where your heart is. Our hearts can only be with Jesus. They cannot be with our families, our job, our hobby, or our thing. That is why God sends the sword of the Spirit that comes to divide. That sword is our deliverance, if you did but know it. It may cause pain for a while as it severs, but in time, as you heal, you will see the fruit of it. You'll see the wisdom and mind of God in it. This is why your life is mapped out. Your life is not a mistake. Your life is not just a happening. It's God working through you and I, reconciling, restoring, delivering, bringing us back into the divine plan and will of God. That's why God wants obedience out of us at the end of the day, which is faith. And eventually we get it. It drops from our heads to our hearts. Obedience is probably the hardest thing in the natural. And yet it's the very thing that God is doing and working in us, both to will do for his good pleasure. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters, clay in God's hands. I think you might be looking at the ground in a different light after today, and you're going to start to appreciate this ground that you stand on and what can and is produced from it, because God produced you and I and the church. That which he produced from the ground, isn't it strange, is also the thing, the very thing that we stand upon as well, that is our security in the natural. Try and work that one out. You never will. They are some of the mysteries of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for our fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that you are preserving and keeping each one of us. You're keeping us from the evil one, from sickness, disease, pestilence, Father, we thank you that your word brings divine health to us, Lord, even, yes, to our bodies. Father, thank you that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And may our faith be translated into obedience, because obedience is what pleases you, is what you want. And we have seen that Christ was obedient even to the death of the cross. May we also be found faithful and obedient, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for fellowship today with my brothers and sisters. And I pray, Father, that you will bless their day, that you will be with them when they go out and they come in. Keep them whole in mind, body, and spirit. And ever keep them looking upwards, that they may experience where their dwelling really is, and that is with Christ in heavenly places. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.